Livewire with Jeff Dorset.
So it's a great pleasure to bring on to the show George Farah from Queen Extravaganza. Great pleasure. Thank you very much, George. How are you?
Very well. How are you, Jeff?
Yep, excellent. Thank you. Good. So I suppose the first thing is, you know, when you started out, George, because you're still a relatively young man, what were your early inspirations? Who inspired George Farah to say, I want to be in the music industry?
Funnily enough, the two bands that I listened to constantly from about the age of six to now is Foo Fighters and Queen.
Right.
So it's a, this whole thing is a full circle moment for me because I was obsessed with those bands.
Yes.
To the point where every Saturday for about 5 or 6 years, I would sit down with my grandma and watch the full Queen Live at Wembley DVD.
Yeah.
Religiously every Saturday. So the two big people for me were obviously Dave Grohl and Freddie himself.
Yeah. Did you actually like Nirvana, or was it when Dave went to Foo Fighters did it for you?
I mean, I listened to Foo Fighters first because my dad was a huge fan. And then I got into Nirvana much later because it was Foo Fighters was just more accessible.
Yeah.
For now that I look back as a kid, I think Nirvana was probably a bit heavy in every sense, musically, lyrically, just everything about that band's quite heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got into them much later,
yeah.
But I mean, they're still a great band. But it was definitely Foo Fighters,
yeah,
that got me into Dave.
Yeah, I mean, really and truly, I don't know how he does it because he doesn't do ballads and he doesn't do slow numbers. I wonder how his voice holds up for 2 or 3 hours when he's rocking out there, Dave Grohl.
Yeah, I think he's just one of, I've read interviews of him where he says he does like a shot of Jack Daniels before he goes on stage. And he just, I think some people just have this natural thing where their voice just doesn't die.
Yeah.
I have a friend like that who can sing. I think Springsteen's the same as well, actually. I've read interviews.
Absolutely. He can just
sing for 3 hours nonstop and his voice is exactly the same at the start of the set to the end.
Yeah. So the listeners will want to know, George, how did the gig come around with Queen Extravaganza? I mean, what were you doing before, bands that you were in, and what sort of music were you playing at the time?
Sure. So I am still quite a young person. I'm only 25.
Right.
So about, I want to say, four years ago, I was still at university in Manchester.
Yeah.
I went to the Royal Northern, it's a music school. And I had my own band in that whilst I was at uni called Dalmas, and we were a three-piece, and it was drums, bass and guitar. And I fronted the band from the drums, so I was the lead singer of the band.
Yeah.
And you probably have met him loads of times, Neil Fairclough.
Yes, of course, I have, many, yeah.
Neil came, for those that don't know, Neil's the bass player for Queen and Adam Lambert, and he came to our university to do a masterclass, and my band got up and played for Neil, and we played two or three songs for him. And because I'm a massive Queen nerd, when the masterclass had finished, I just basically badgered him about everything Queen.
Yes.
And then kind of just kept in touch on Instagram, not anything really heavy, you know, just sort of he followed what I was doing. I'd message him occasionally. And then one day I was in my local pub, the Blues Bar in Harrogate, which is a great music venue as well. And I just got a message off him saying, I've got a gig that you might be interested to audition for. And it was Queen Extravaganza.
Yeah.
And He basically said, the drumming is a given, but what they really need is someone that can sing and play drums at the same time, right. Which Neil had obviously heard me doing in my own band. So I sent in an audition tape. I think from off the top of my head, I think I did Seven Seas of Rye and I can't remember. I think it was One Vision. Sent that in, didn't hear anything for about a month. And then literally on my graduation day, I got an email saying that I was in the band.
Oh, wow.
which was, to be honest, when I got that email, I didn't care about the graduation at all.
Terrific. Well, of course, you know, when you think about it as well, I mean, Roger is a singing drummer. You're following in the footsteps of, say, like Don Henley, who's a singing drummer as well. There's not too many of them about, to be honest. You know, that's great for you to do that. So what was the first gig you did with Crean Extravaganza?
When I went to rehearse, I was absolutely bricking it.
Of course. Yes, I can understand.
I'd never met any of the guys before.
Right.
I was replacing Tyler,
yes,
who I knew was basically like a Queen encyclopedia and knew everything.
Yes.
And can play it better than anybody and knows all the... Basically can play every instrument,
yes,
for every Queen song.
Yeah.
So I was absolutely terrified.
Yes.
But after the first run through, it was all the nerves were put at rest.
Yes.
I kind of just had to realize that I'm not Tyler.
Yes.
And I can do it my own way.
Yes.
So we did rehearsals, did a few dress rehearsals. I think the first one I did was Birmingham Symphony Hall.
Yes.
And I was absolutely terrified.
Yes.
That place is pretty big.
Yes.
And to do the first gig there, I remember saying to Darren, who's our keyboard player,
yeah,
and he also is a musical director,
yes,
and I think I'd kind of underestimated how,
yes,
sort of, it's not just a tribute band, you know, it's put together by Queen.
I know.
And I'd kind of underestimated how, not serious, but how big the whole thing was.
Yes.
And we were just about to go on, and I looked out and it was absolutely full, the Symphony Hall.
Yes.
It wasn't an empty seat. And I just said, geez, Darren, I'm actually really quite nervous. I'm not sure I can do this. And he just turned around, like all people from the South do, and he just went, well, you've got to bloody do it, mate, don't you?
Yes.
And I mean, I was pretty shaken the whole way through the gig, but after that it was kind of like a good first one to do because it just got all the nerves out of the way, you know.
Yes, super. By the way, is that Darren Reeves?
Yeah, that's Darren Reeves,
Of course, and I've interviewed Darren on a number of occasions. Specifically, we talked last time around about Bjorn Again and his songbook that he does for Billy Joel. In fact, no, we've actually only talked once, but Darren was great. So I'll tell you something about first gigs. There's always been a funny story for me. One of my very best friends is the keyboard player for Queen, which is Spike Edney. And,
oh, yeah.
And Spike tells this great story of first gig for him, whereby he took over from a guy from, I think it was Mott the Hoople on keys in 1984. And they just said to him, have you got a passport? He said, yes, I've got one. He said, right, you're going to be in Belgium tomorrow. He said, but I've not met any of the guys from Queen. He said, what if they don't like me? And they said, yeah, well, you'll be on a plane back home the next day. I always remember Spike telling me that story and, of course, caught up with him on a number of occasions. But what a super guy and everything there. But yeah, it's a funny time. And so you've Queen Extravaganza, of course, is known now worldwide. I mean, it's the main tribute endorsed by Brian and Roger. Brian's still wearing those wonderful shirts whenever we see him, and terrific stuff there. So that's a great thing and an accolade for you guys. But, you know, you've played many parts of the world as well, haven't you?
Yeah. So the last tour we did the UK and pretty much every country in Europe.
Yes.
Bar Germany, because a lot of them were... they were sort of COVID rescheduled gigs because the tour got postponed. But yeah, we've been considering I've only done one tour with the band, I've been to quite a lot of places with them.
Yeah. And talking about that, it brings you back to what's happening with the UK, because you are coming here, the band, in total. How many of you are in the band these days?
So there's me, there's Francois on bass, Nick on guitar, Darren on keys, and then we've got Gareth and Illyrio singing. So there's six of us.
Wow. Yeah, you put it together, but terrific sound. What's the hardest song, do you think, to play?
As a band or for me personally?
Probably for you in the band, yeah?
For me, I mean, there's different ones for different reasons. So songs like Now I'm Here and Keep Yourself Alive.
Yes, great.
They're physically hard.
Yes.
And quite, I'm not going to say draining, but they demand a lot physically to play.
Yeah.
I've always found Killer Queen quite hard to play, to be honest.
Yes.
Just because the arrangement of it is so unique. And just to try and get it to sound close to the record is really quite hard.
Yeah.
On a live stage. And the thing with a lot of Queen music that people might not understand is that, and it's the same with anybody that's, you know, great at what they do, is that when you listen to a Queen song, it sounds really simple.
Yes.
But there's actually a lot going on. And that's the art of it, is to make something really complex sound really simple, you know?
Yeah. Now, of course, when you do the tour, I'm pleased to say you're going to be down our neck of the woods, because I'm in Salisbury, so 2 days back-to-back at the wonderful Bournemouth BIC, wonderful centre there, where everybody, Laura Sackett and everybody, will look after you when you play those 2 nights. I had a message from her yesterday saying they were looking forward to you guys coming there. That's going to be good, isn't it?
It'll be awesome, and I don't think we did Bournemouth last time.
Right.
So it'll be nice to play somewhere new.
Yeah, you'll probably be in the Windsor Hall, so that's a big one there, and it'll be great for you. So listen, George, it's been great talking to you. I wish you well with the tour. You know, give my best to Tyler when you see him. We had a funny experience, Tyler and I, once before. Although I met him, as I told you, in the green room at the T-Mobile in Vegas. What happened as well is they were playing, this is a few years ago now, they were going to be playing at the Portsmouth Guildhall. And I was live on the radio at the time, and I thought it would be a nice touch to bring in the governor, who is the head man for the Portsmouth Guildhall, a fella called Andy Grays. And so Andy comes in, and I'm trying to do this all slick, and Tyler's in Nashville, lined it all up there, and the phone lines went completely dead. The studio was out of action. So I had to shoot into the next studio, and my producer couldn't hear me. So we are mouthing it across the studio and trying to lip sync and lip read each other along the way there. And the guy from the Guildhall, Andy Grays, just looked at us in amazement and thought, you know, this is chaos. Car crash radio at its best. Well, that's what he said. I don't know if it was his best, but it was certainly car crash radio. But we got through to Tyler in the end. But it was just the fact that you're doing these things live, and well, it all went down.
I think sometimes spur of the moment things usually end up better than the things that were planned.
It's nice of you to say that, George. So I'll tell you what, thank you very much, and good luck with the tour and everywhere that you go to, because you're going to a lot of towns and cities along the way. Now, I'm going to play Killer Queen, and the reason is, you mentioned it just now, when I first launched Radio Hallam in 1974, that makes me a little bit older than you, George, and I remember the first 3 records that I played, and I started off with Rod Stewart doing Sweet Little Rock and Roller from the Smiler album. And the second song I played was Killer Queen. And I always remember that's the way we're going to do it. So stay on the line, George. Thanks very much for everything. And good luck with that. Give my regards to Darren and all the boys.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Killer Queen it is.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. She says, just like Marie Antoinette, a building remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't decline. Caviar and cigarettes, well versed in etiquette, extraordinarily nice. She's a killer queen. relations. She never kept the same address. In conversation, she spoke just like a baroness. Middleman, China, went down to Geisha Minor. And then again, incidentally, she was in that way. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam.
Guaranteed to blow your mind. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of class, so absolutely dry. She's trying to get you.
She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam.
Guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price. Insatiable and appetite.
Wanna try?
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.